This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Birth order theory, whether you poo-poo it or swear by it, you've got to admit that there's something deeply compelling about the idea that much of our personalities may be shaped by the order we and our siblings were born, even if you don't have any siblings. So, Anthony, I've got to ask, you've got sisters, right?
Yeah, I've got three sisters.
Okay, three sisters. And where do you come in that order?
I am the youngest.
Youngest?
Yeah.
Youngest of four, but you're the only boy.
Yeah, a highly privileged situation in my family.
So what do you think are the certain Anthony Brooks traits that have arisen because of that?
Oh, boy. Some I'm not sure I want to go into in this kind of... I'll tell you one that I'll be honest about. I think for a particular period of my life, being the youngest in a rowdy, loud, smart household, I always felt like people weren't listening to me.
They weren't listening to you.
So I went into radio, right? It resolved the whole issue for me.
Because now thousands and thousands of people
they have to listen.
Well, apparently, as a youngest, you're also supposed to be emotional, extroverted, and talkative. So there's the talkative
again.
Part.
There's the radio piece. Okay, Meghna, I got to ask you. What about you? Where are you and your family?
Well, I've got one younger brother, so I'm a firstborn, which means. I guess in my research today, I found out that I'm supposed to be reliable, obedient, responsible, and maybe have a need for approval, which I guess might actually be slightly true. But we listeners, ignore that you just heard me say that.
I've never seen that.
But what's interesting is that we took a survey of Radio Boston staffers today, and every single person on our staff is either an oldest or a youngest child. We have no middle children in the group.
They must know something about what we do here, those middle children.
Exactly. Maybe radio's not for them, or maybe it is, because according to recent research, we may be actually missing out on something by not having middle children on our staff, because there's evidence that middle children, far from being those forgotten family wallflowers, may actually be better risk takers, better negotiators, and better empathizers than their older or younger siblings. So they may, in fact, have secret powers. And that is the title of a book called The Secret Power of Middle Children, How Middleborns Can Harness Their Unexpected and Remarkable Abilities. And one of the co-authors of the book joins us now, Katrin Schumann. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so it's great to have you on the show. And we, you know, Anthony and I just sort of went through some of the stereotypes of youngest and eldest children. Can you tell us what you found are the traits of those secret powers are of middle children that we should look for?
Sure. Well, the thing that's so interesting about middle children is that the perception of middles is so at odd with the reality of middle children. And that's what we found in our research. And also anecdotally, that's how the whole idea of the book got started.
Because everyone thinks
studies show that people think of middles as being envious and bitter and confused and overlooked. I mean, all these negative, words are ascribed to them. And frankly, nobody really gives much thought to middles. I mean, this is the first book on middle children that's been written.
Maybe it's eldest and youngest that have been doing the research so far.
Well, maybe they have, and they've been skewing toward the oldest and the babies. So what we have found, both through research and then also anecdotally, is that as a result of being squeezed in the middle and that particular and unique situation that you have where you're not the firstborn and you're not the lastborn, middles actually develop these great strategies that are great for them in adult life, such as they're excellent negotiators. They tend to be justice seekers and trailblazers. And these are not strong positive qualities that we would normally associate with middle children.
Okay, so you have a lot of examples in the book of famous names of folks who are middle children. And there's just one of them I want to talk about in a little bit more detail, and that is John F. Kennedy.
Yes.
So he was the second son of the Kennedy family of nine children.
Yeah.
What were his qualities that showed themselves in his presidency that you ascribed to him being a middle child?
Well, he was a great negotiator. He was great at bringing together people who, it was difficult to find to reach consensus. I mean, he was president at a very difficult time in our history, and he had charisma. And yet he was also able to see things through. And there's an element of middle children personality, which is sort of persistence. But it's not always an in-your-face, aggressive kind of persistence. So I often think of them as sort of stealth CEOs. You know, they find ways to get their own way, but you don't see it in a kind of a brash personality. They tend to sort of bring you in their fold. Part of that is because middles tend to be quite social, and they rely a lot on their peer group growing up in order to sort of find their own families, define their own family role outside of the family. We call it chosen family.
Now, you've written in the case of Kennedy that, I mean, his elder brother, the eldest of the Kennedy siblings, Joe, had been killed in the Second World War. I'm getting my wars mixed up, but I just want to be sure I have that right. But anyway, his elder brother had been killed, and that then is what allowed John Kennedy to receive the attention of his father that he wasn't getting before.
Well, there was so much attention put on the oldest, as there often is in a family, and we can see it in our everyday families too, even in my family with my three children. It's just very natural to put sort of most of your hopes and dreams onto that first one, which means they get the most attention, usually, of the children. And so when John F. Kennedy's older brother died, that attention had to go somewhere. All that energy and those hopes and those dreams, then they shifted to JFK. But he had already built up this sort of middle child personality, and then layered on top of that almost was then the firstborn sense of wanting to fulfill, fill those shoes and make those big dreams come true.
But it sounds like what you're saying is that some of these emergent qualities of being a middle child come because maybe in truth they're not actually getting as much attention from parents.
Well, that is very true. And studies do show that they don't get as much attention, they don't get as much money for college, they don't feel as close to their parents. I mean, in one survey, middle children said only 10% of middle children said that they felt close to their parents, compared to 60% and 40% of firstborns and middleborns. So that's quite startling. Now, even if they're not so close to their parents, they do find alternate groups in which they can become the leaders that they feel they aren't at home. So in a way, our argument is that the benign neglect that they experience at home really does end up creating these wonderful qualities that people just aren't recognizing, but that play out in real life, in work, in relationships, you know, in everyday life. Mm.
We'll talk a little bit more about how these things play out into adulthood. But listeners, I am speaking with Katrin Schumann. She's co-author of The Secret Power of Middle Children, How Middleborns Can Harness Their Unexpected and Remarkable Abilities. So are you a middle child, or are you the parent of one? And are you thinking as you hear this, finally, someone's realizing that it's not all negative and it's not just middle child syndrome? And how should this new understanding of the middle child affect how we raise them or even perceive them as adults? And if empathy, risk-taking, and negotiation are strengths of the middle child, how might we encourage those traits no matter what order you're born in? Call us with your middle child stories at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Katrin, one thing I did notice which was interesting about your book is you do a wonderful job, you and your co-author, Katrin Salmon, of bringing in the names of famous people who are middle children and how their work in adulthood has really shown us these traits in action. I mean, you mentioned Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King Jr., Lech Walesa, Anwar Sadat, Ernest Hemingway, the list goes on. But I did notice that they're mostly men.
They are mostly men. There's Susan B. Anthony. She is our one woman in there. And we worked hard, actually, to try to find women. And I think that's less a reflection on the fact that middle children don't necessarily do well. It's more a reflection on our culture and our times, because women didn't have as much opportunity to rise to positions of great authority and to have the kind of impact on our lives that as they do now. Mm. So it's harder to find examples of strong middle children, female middle children role models.
But you do note in the book that the way the middle child is perceived and or treated by the parent does actually matter, or may matter, if they're a boy or a girl. Like, gender makes a difference here.
Gender makes a huge difference because, of course, birth order is not something that is genetic. You're not stuck with your birth order. Birth order is really how you perceive your position in the family. And that can change depending on how your family is structured. So say you're the only boy in a family of four and you have three older sisters, as someone we know, you know, that's going to be a very different family dynamic. And that last born is going to be less of a traditional last born, have less of those traditional qualities than if he weren't the only a male in that family. Equally, if a family of three has a middle child who is a boy, that probably is going to change the family dynamic significantly. And that middle child will just have less typical middle child traits.
I see. So every family is unique, in other words.
It really is. Family is just the environment in which we grow up. And obviously, every family is different. So if you take multiple families that have many middle children, their middle children aren't all the same. The middle children can have very different personalities. It really all depends on what that unique family dynamic was.
Now, take a step back with me for a moment, if you could, because this whole idea that there's any influence on our lives in birth order, essentially, has kind of come in and out of favor over the past century. It's really come back into favor in the past 4 or 5 years with all this new wave of research. How much, I mean, do we have a quantitative sense as to how much where we're born in our between our siblings actually does matter in terms of forming our personalities?
Well, it's influenced by genetics. I think it's about 40%, and I think it's just under 40%. I think it's actually 35% influenced on the birth order, and part of that is the family that we're growing, the environment. So it's 40% genetics and 35% environment, and the family plays a certain role in the environment. So the family isn't the only influencer in our environment, naturally. So it's a huge part of how we form our personalities. Hmm.
Listeners, we are talking about the secret power of middle children. My guest is Catherine Schumann. She is the co-author of a book by the same name. And we're looking for your middle children stories. Are you the parent of one? Are you a middle child yourself? Are you grateful now that you're hearing that it may not have all been middle child syndrome and that you grew up to have skills that maybe your older brothers and sisters or younger brothers and sisters don't have? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. We've got a call from Framingham. Nancy's on the line. Welcome to Radio Boston, Nancy.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm very happy to be on Radio Boston again. I just want to say I'm the oldest of two children. I have a younger brother, and as the oldest one, I'm the more serious one, and maybe the more neglected one in many ways, but that's another story. But I've been happily involved on a serious level with a middle-born male I met almost 40 years ago, and we've been really involved for the past 6 years or so, and he has the empathy and the negotiation skills of a middle child, which has worked very happily on a day-to-day basis in my own life that I never really had for my own family.
Nancy, thank you so much for your call. So there we see it even working out in terms of partnerships or relationships into adulthood.
There's a chapter in our book that talks about middle children as friends and lovers. And actually, they make wonderful friends and lovers. They are very loyal. They're empathetic. Their negotiation skills are excellent when it comes to conflict. Where there can be some problems sometimes is that they do avoid conflict, and that can backfire for middles. But typically in relationships, they make very, very good partners. They're just willing to really listen to the other side of the argument and learn from that and then work with that information to get their own way.
Hmm. And is this all because growing up in a family where there are multiple siblings on either side of you, that you really kind of are just put in a negotiation position from the start? I mean, does it all have to sort of come back down to that?
You have to be a little savvy, because as the middle child, the firstborn is bigger, does everything better, usually is you're being carted around to activities and you're shuffled along. There's this focus on the firstborn. And then always the lastborn is the baby and gets the special attention as being the baby, and the parents are are a little more emotional about that last one and the closing off of the family. And so the middle child from the get-go just has to be a bit smarter and maybe manipulative is a word you could use, but they're not necessarily conscious of it. They just find ways to get their own way.
Now, what about this idea of them being justice seekers? Does that play itself out in adulthood because maybe they feel a sense of injustice as children?
I think that one is really, really interesting, and I love doing the research on that and working with Catherine on that part of the book, because that really is something that you wouldn't think of usually with middle children. But yes, the truth is that they have great sympathy for the underdog. They're just naturally inclined to align themselves with people who feel deeply about something and aren't being heard. And so their instinct then is to be willing to be the voice for those people. There was a really interesting study. There was a strike at Kmart, and a lot of the protesters were arrested. And then the protesters returned, and 100% of the protesters who were arrested the second time were later-borns. Huh. So the later-borns are more likely to be sympathetic to the underdog. They just have that, you know, that part of their personality where they want to help the underdog stand up. And that tends to show itself in their careers, what they do in later in life.
Now, how much does the fact that families aren't black and white, everyone's individual, and quite frankly, in modern life, you have a lot of mixed or blended families where siblings might be getting to know each other not from birth?
Yeah, we talk about that in the second chapter in the book because that's actually a big factor when you're trying to figure out who's really a middle, technically a middle or really a middle. And blended families families in which a child dies or a child is perhaps disabled, there are many different circumstances that can affect that kind of power play between siblings. So you can actually change your birth order position, by accident. I mean, if your parents get divorced and you blend with another family that has an older child or a younger child, you can become a middle once you've been a firstborn. Now, what matters here in this equation is how close in age you are with those siblings, because really the greatest birth order effects are when the siblings or step-siblings are 5 years apart in age or less. So if it's more than 5 years, you're developmentally far enough differentiated that you're not really in such direct competition with those siblings. And so that kind of dilutes the birth order effect.
Let's take a couple more calls here. Chelsea's calling from Sandown, New Hampshire. You're on the air, Chelsea.
Hi. I just wanted to say the empathy thing that really struck with me because I am a middle child in a family of five girls. I'm the third child, and I've always been able to go out and volunteer at homeless shelters. I'm getting my degree in nursing. I'm working as a nursing assistant right now in a rehab facility. And the empathy thing kind of makes sense now.
Chelsea, thank you so much for your call. On that note, let's get another one in here. Kathleen's calling from Newburyport. You're on the air, Kathleen.
Hi, hi. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's your thought?
My thought, I guess, is regarding the middle child, being a middle child, I have an older brother and a younger brother, and I'm the one who sort of is the negotiator and compromiser. If there's a family crisis or situation, they don't effectively communicate between themselves, so I'm sort of the go-between, and that was really apparent, like, when my mother passed 2 years ago, it's sort of I was the one to sort of kind of coordinate and make sure things all kind of went smoothly. And the other interesting piece is that I have become a social worker, so that whole piece about the empathy for the underdog also continues, in the work I've been doing probably for about the last 25 years.
Kathleen, thank you so much for your call. Catherine Schumann, we heard just there from two people who say, I feel naturally empathetic and I'm the natural mediator in my family. That does make me wonder about the potential downsides that you've discovered in your research. I mean, isn't there the opportunity for middle children to, in their quest for justice and mediation, to really put their own interests further down the list than they need to be?
Yes, there is that potential risk. And middle children do often find themselves with this immense responsibility. They're always expected to be the one who is sensible and who will bridge that gap. And that can be quite a burden to some people, although almost always it's massively appreciated, you know, especially in a family situation like your caller was talking about. We talk about that in our book as well, and in one anecdote. That's a frequent occurrence that the middle children are stuck and become the conduit between other siblings. So yes, the downside is that middle children can be taken advantage of. And we've heard from a lot of middle children that really feel like they don't know how to draw the line. They don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. They want to please people. And so drawing that line and saying, I've had enough, or I don't know the answer, I can't do it, you know, admitting that they can't fix something or stepping away from a situation that where really they shouldn't be part of is very difficult for middles. And there, you know, the advice is simply the advice you would give anybody who's struggling with that kind of thing is you do every now and then have to take a step back and look at what your own best interests are. Mm-hmm. And every now and then you're not going to be able to be successful in that role that you've inadvertently found yourself in, and that's okay. We can't always be successful at everything we do, and it's worth protecting your own interests from time to time.
Well, the book is The Secret Power of Middle Children: How Middleborns Can Harness Their Unexpected and Remarkable Abilities. Its co-author is Katrin Schumann. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And listeners, whether you're a middle child or not, continue this conversation online at radioboston.org. And coming up, the latest and more insight on the BU hockey report that came out last week. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.